Blog Talk Radio.
Podium to be able to
divide the word of truth. I thank God that I'm able to come before his presence and your presence with singing and thanksgiving. I thank God for allowing us to come together across this spectrum to unite in liberty, to unite in righteousness. And I just want to take this time, take this platform at this moment to tell you thank you. And we also have a free designated number for our listeners to call in. You can call in. The numbers are on the monitor, and that number is 877-598-8654. That number once again is 877-598-8654. The second allocated number is 646-230-74. 646-230-74. And those are the numbers to reach the old ship of Zion. You can call in. We welcome your calls. Welcome your comments into the station. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'm still there. I guess I'm still on there, praise God. Someone is trying to come through, but we bind that demon. In the name of Jesus, Father God, let your will be done. I am here to spread the divine word of truth, and I don't need any interruptions. That call, I wanted to see, Father. In your matchless name, I pray, and we shall say amen. And amen. All right. We will go into our prayer. You know, we have to reverence God in all that we do. And if you're not reverencing God on a day-to-day basis, I would encourage you to place God at the number one list of your itinerary every day. Make that your number one itinerary is to include God. But because without God, saints of God and friends and listeners and kinship and you that are out there in our digital radio listening audience, without God, we are nothing, can do nothing. We are limitless. Like I said on the last program, we are limited. But through Christ Jesus, we can do all things. So as I first stated, we will go into prayer. So I'm asking all of my loyal listeners, all of my friends, all of my kinship, all of my new friends, all of my new listeners, I would ask you if you will. This is a ask. This is not a demand. This is a ask. If you will, reference God with me in bowing your head. God sees all and he knows all. So if you will, my friends, bow your head right now as we go into prayer on this morning. Father God, we come with grateful hearts of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, oh gracious Heavenly Father, for assembling us together in unity once again. Hallelujah. Around this spectrum, coming together as pilgrims through this barren land, Father. We're asking you to anoint these lips of clay to bring a rhema word, God, to those of you that may or may not know God in the pardons of your sins. Grace me, your servant, Lord, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within their very souls at this present moment. Father God, we would be so grateful we would be so thoughtful to give your name the glory, the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' spotless name, I pray. And we shall all say amen and amen. And I just thank you, those of you that have the opportunity to listen in on today, for this is a new time for me. I don't think, come in on a weekday, on a week morning, but my show on last evening was canceled due to me counseling a Christian person of God. I was counseling them during the process of me airing my show. But we know that God knows best. And we can start out planning our itinerary and planning our life one way, and then it just changes all of a sudden because God is in command. God is the head chief. God is the head cornerstone of our lives. We are not of ourselves. We were bought with a price. So we know that we can plan, you know, what we would like to happen on a day or a date or what have you, but we know that in the end, God has the ultimate choice in deciding if our day go as we plan or as He plans. Because number one, God is our creator. We are not His creator, but He is our creator. And He's our Lord, and He's our Savior. He's our Father. He is our spiritual Father. And so, God controls our destiny from day to day. So we're going to go into our message on today. And our message today is hope. God placed that in my heart on last evening. Because we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I can confess to you at times I have doubted God's purpose and His promise. I said that to my own embarrassment when things haven't worked as I thought they would. When I receive a no instead of a yes, or a yes instead of a no, even when I couldn't unravel a situation and it with the character of God, those have been times when I have said, I know down within this is right. This isn't right, correct. And we know that when we come on our knees saying please, rather than thinking logically, we can think theologically. That's awful good advice. And when the bottom drops out of your life, when hope seems to wear thin, when human logic fails to make much sense, we can think theologically. We can go back and we can read the law of Hebrews 6 and 17 through 18. The theological facts are, number one, there is an unchangeable purpose with God. Number two, and that purpose is guaranteed with an oath. It's at this gesture, I should add, don't try to explain it all to someone else. You can't. If you could, you would be God. The only thing you can explain theologically is that it is part of his unchangeable purpose. It's guaranteed with an oath, neither of which is a lie. That's a theologically thinking, as Solomon states so well. God has made everything appropriate in his time. That's in the law of Ecclesiastes 3 and 11. Let me give you a theological view of what I'm talking about. God is in control of the times and the seasons. Some times are hard and some seasons are dry. So the conclusion is that God is in control of hard times and dry seasons. We are quick to give God praise when the blessings flow, when the checking account is full and running over, when the job is secure and promotion is on the horizon, when the salary is good, when our health is fine. But we have a tough time believing when those things aren't true. And we know that the three benefits of thinking theologically, there are benefits that come from thinking theologically. You'll see three of them right here in these two verses. In Hebrews 6, look at verse 8. By two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement. Logically thinking with this courage, you theologically thinking will encourage you. That's the first benefit. Personally, encouragement, believing, you will have strong encouragement. We who have fled for refuge and land hope of the hope. That's the second benefit, a refuge of hope. Encouragement is the opposite of discouragement. We find that hope is the opposite of despair. When you accept the fact that sometimes seasons are dry and times are hard and that God is in control of both, you will discover a sense of divine refuge, because the hope then is in God and not in yourself. That explains why Abraham gave glory to God during the waiting period. I can't figure it out. I cannot explain it. But God, you promised me, and I give you glory for the period of waiting, even though I'm getting up in years. A strong encouragement, a refuge of hope, and for the ultimate benefit, we can read on that this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. That's the third benefit, an anchor for the soul. The word anchor is often used in ancient literature, but it is only used once in the New Testament. Right here in Hebrews 6, there are a lot of hymns, and we find that the gospel song that makes us the anchor metaphor, every one of them comes back to this verse that refers to the anchor of the soul. There's something beautiful in this word picture that I would have missed without the advice of one very capable scholar. Hallelujah. We find that the picture is that of an ancient sailor vessel finding its way through the narrow entrance to a harbor. This was one of the trickiest maneuvers the captain of a ship had to make. As his ship moved through the opening, he had to guard against a gust of wind running into a reef or a sandbar. The skeletons of many a ship could be on the rocks, giving testimony to the fact that his captain had failed his navigation test. To minimize the risk, the olden days skipper would lower the ship's anchor into a smaller boat, which would then be towed through the narrow entrance of the harbor. The anchor would then be dropped and this ship would sail down, would be pulled past the obstacles through the narrow opening and into the safety of the harbor. I can distinctly remember when I read about a troop arrived after 17 days at sea at the harbor, the city of Yokohama, Japan. As we approached the harbor, the skipper said that the ship, as it set silent in the deep sea like an enormous bloated whale, the marine waited on the deck in the hot sunshine as a tiny tugboat left the harbor and came out toward that huge vessel. And then the Japan gentleman came up, he said, the side of the ship, and ultimately took the control of the ship. And he personally guided it until they were in safety zone. Now, someone later explained the reason that there was steel mines in the Japanese harbor and said that was fun thoughts after 17 days at sea. He said, welcome to Japan. The mines are ready for you. He guided them through the treacherous water of the harbor and right up to the pier. Now, we know that the spiritual analogy and the point of all of this, of course, is not anchor and skipper ships and harbors. The point is this. That is exactly what Jesus does. When the bottom of life, hallelujah, when the bottom of life drops out, I encourage you to look closer at the verse. We have an anchor of the soul. We have a hope, both sure and steadfast, and one which enter within the veil. The imaginary of this verse may not be clear at first glance, so let me put it in today's terms, in the day of the tabernacle. The Jews gathered around it, and within it as a place of worship. Within the tabernacle were veils. Within the innermost veil was the holiest place on earth, the place we might call the God room. In this God room, the light, or as it was called, the Shekinah of God residence. It's my understanding that the light of God was a brilliant, blazing light that shone down into the God room. Within that room was an ark, a small chest, much lower and smaller than the most pulpit. On top of that chest was a grail with golden cherubim on either end, angel-like creatures with their wings folded in front of them. The entire piece of unique furniture was too holy for words. Then once a year, the high priest of the Jews would enter that God room with a small pan of blood, which precisely as God required it in the law, he pulled out the grail, which was called the mercy seat. There between the golden cherubim, God witnessing the spilling of the blood and pleased with the sacrifice that had been made correctly by the priest, graciously forgave the Jewish people. It was an annual event. It was the most sacred of all events. The Hebrew must have held their breath at the high priest went in with the pan, poured the blood, and came out of this room where God dwells. The first century Jews who read this word, Baal, in Hebrew 6, understood all that looked closely. This hope we have as an anchor, a hope both sure and steadfast, one which entered within the veil where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 19 and 20. In other words, our Savior has gone through life, has taken all of life beating and buffering. He had gone before, and now he puts up toward himself. He invites his followers within the veil. He says, come in. Find here the rest that you need. The relief from the burden and buffeting of doubt. Doubt, you see, will always try to convince you. You are alone. No one else knows or cares. No one else really can enter in and help you with this. In Hebrew, however, the writer says that Christ is our constant priest, not once a year, but forever. He lives, hallelujah, in the garden. He is there sitting alongside the Father, representing your needs to him. And child of God, there is nothing, hallelujah, we know that there is nothing so great for you to endure that he does not feel touched by it and stay by you through it all. Now, we know that I would like to present to you some pertinent and practical reminders. Now, I want to share this very practically. When you minister to people who have come to the end of their trial of despair, logic won't cut it. Logical thinking will not help you, nor will it help them. Sometimes, quite honestly, it will backfire. I'll give you one illustration. Now, we come to the conclusion, hallelujah, that when human logic, you see breakdowns, the mystery is enormous, and it is the enormity of it all that calls for faith. I'm sorry that it sounds like an overused word, but if we could unravel it, why would we need faith? If that were true, all we really need is the answer in the back of the book and someone to point it out to us. We'd read it, and that's all there would be to it. But God's plan is that we walk by faith. We do not walk by sight. It is faith and patience that stretch up, hallelujah, to the breaking point. Such things sent doubt running. When you find yourself dealing with doubt, let me give you three things to remember. First, God cannot lie. He can test. He will. He can say wait. And occasionally he will. But God cannot lie. He must keep his word. Doubt says, you fool. You're stupid to believe in a God who puts you through this. But faith keeps remembering that God cannot lie. Hallelujah. So we know that we should never question God. We could. I mean, I don't believe that's a sin to question God, because I believe that if you don't question God, then how can you find the answer? to your solution. But we know that God was not undermined in the least. It never occurs to me to associate the calamity when we experience with God to blame him or to believe in him less or cease believing in him at all, because he didn't come to our aid. God doesn't owe us. We know that God doesn't owe us that or anything. We owe our lives to him. If someone believes God is responsible for the death of 6 million because he didn't somehow do something to save them, he's got his thinking reversed. We owe God. We owe God, hallelujah, our lives for the few or many years we live. And we have the duty to worship him and do as he commands. That's why we're here on earth. For one reason and for one purpose, to be in God's service and to do God's bidding. God cannot lie. Here's the second piece of advice that helps me. We will not lose doubt's faith. You lose if you trust God through this. You lose. If I read anything in this whole section of Hebrews 6, I read this: in the mystery manner of God, own timing for such unexplainable and yet unchangeable purpose, those of us who trust him ultimately win, because God ultimately wins. We know that there's a little song that the chorus and the Christian love to sing, and it is quite and tender, yet tough and true. And it says that in his time, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Lord, please show me every day as you're teaching me your way, that you do just what you say in your time. And we know that God is a God of his word. God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should repent. So we know that God cannot lie. We will not lose. Your mate has walked away from you. An unfair departure. You will not lose, child of God. Your baby has been born, and for some reason it has been chosen to be one of those special persons on this earth. You will not lose. You waited and waited, and you're convinced that things would improve, yet things have only gotten worse. Keep remembering. You will not lose. God swears on it with an oak that cannot change. You will not lose. Thirdly, and I guess it's the best of all, is this: that our Lord Jesus does not leave. To quote a verse from Scripture, he sticks closer than a brother. In the law, Proverbs 18 and 24, Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever. That's in the law of Hebrews 6 and 20. And that means he is there at any time and always. Hallelujah. We know that Jesus is there all the time. Friends may leave. Loved one may leave. Mother and father may leave. sister and brother and your siblings may leave. But we know that there's one that sticks closer than any mother, any father, any sister or brother. And that, my friend, is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We know that when all hope is gone, we can put our hope in Christ Jesus, for he's right there. He said to never leave us, nor forsake us, but he would be there until the end of the earth. So we know that Jesus never leaves us. He never forsakes us. In our darkest hour, in your darkest hour, I might be talking to someone out there in digital listening radio today that's going through. You've lost your job. Your unemployment has been denied. You was turned down on that job offer. And all those, your bills are due. And you are up to the brim in debt. I come to serve you notice on today, my friend. You that are listening in digital radio land today, God can remove any obstacle that you're facing in your life today. God can remove the loom and gloom from your life and replace it with peace and contentment and happiness. If you just put your hope in Jesus, don't put your hope in a foundation that's founded on sand. Because if you're putting your hope on a foundation that's planted and built on sand, then I'm here to tell you that the wind and the waves can come in and blow that building down. But if you're building your hope on a sure foundation of Jesus Christ, on a sure foundation, well, then the wind and the waves may come. The wind may blow, but it will forever stand. Because why? It's standing on a sure foundation, my friend. And that is in the hope of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I know that if we trust God, when we cannot praise him, he will bring us out. We will come out with the victory. Hallelujah. All you have to do is just turn your life over to Jesus. And you tell yourself, I'm trusting Jesus through this. He has given me new hope. The one thing that you're really in need of and that you need is hope. It's very possible that someone out there that's listening to me right now feel the very same way. You're thinking thoughts that you have never entertained before, and you're thinking them more often and more seriously without trying to use any of the clicks on yourself. I would say that this hope Christ can bring, this anchor of soul, hallelujah, is the only way through. I have no answer other than Jesus Christ. I can't promise you healing, nor can I predict that your world will come back right side up. But I am promise you that he will receive you as you come in faith to him. And he will bring back the hope you need so desperately. The good news is this, that hope will not only get you through this particular trial, it will ultimately take you within the veils when you die. And I hope and I pray in ending that I've said something to inject your spirit and to impact your mind. As I have given you the divine word of truth, until we meet again, I want you to go in God as God go in you. Keep hope alive. Bye for now.
Like going on. shall find. Oh, I'm gonna find rest beyond the reed, the river.
Thank you.
Makes me wanna run home.